come into this house as a people expecting to see the face of God and to wrestle with Him deeply. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
God is good, and all the time. We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And if you are a visitor with us, we encourage you to take the time to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. I want to remind you that tonight we do have a fellowship meal in the fellowship hall at 5 o'clock. I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that wonderful opportunity to be involved in the lifeblood of this congregation, which is fellowshipping together. We also want to remind you that immediately following that at 5:45 is our roundtable meeting. If you're unfamiliar with that word, roundtable is our business meeting. It's where we hear reports from our ministry teams, where we learn about what's going on in our budget, what's going on with the future and vision of our church. It's a time for you to voice the way that you feel the Spirit is leading you and leading this congregation. Today, as we worship, we also acknowledge that we come into this place not as perfect people, but wrestlers, wrestling with our regrets, wrestling with our doubts, wrestling with our own personal demons and sins, and wrestling with a God whose ways are not our ways and whose thoughts are not our thoughts.
This morning, our opening scripture passage is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Let us go to the Lord in prayer as we reflect on these words. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, you make magnificent mountains and the oceans, and you make the tiny worms and the bugs and everything in between. And for that, this morning, we give you thanks. You are amazing. You are beyond words. You are beyond description. And so as we gather in this place today to worship you, as we lift up prayer, as we lift up song, as we lift up scripture, as we lift up our thoughts, they pale in comparison to who you are. Father God, you have called us here at First Baptist Elon to serve and to honor you through our word and through our deed. And we just ask and hope that our time of worship this day will be that for you, a sacrifice, a loving offering of who we are. Father God, we lift this name in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand and join us in singing our hymn of praise, Lord, I Need You.
Teach my soul.
I want to make you aware of the inside of your bulletin. There is a section there, CBFNC is responding together to Hurricane Matthew. As you know, and you have seen the news and seen the footage of the devastation in the wake of this hurricane that we all thought was going to turn around and leave us alone, and yet it came anyway. And we are finding that even this week, the rivers are cresting, the floodwaters are at their height, and people are without power and without food, without shelter, without the things that they need. I have ridden through eastern North Carolina as far as northeastern and Elizabeth City, been down to Whiteville and Columbus County and through Lumberton, and it is an absolute war zone. The people standing in long lines waiting for food, waiting for some word of encouragement. We've seen disaster relief set up and giving out food and water. People are expected to be without power for at least two more weeks in Lumberton and Fair Bluff. Fayetteville is seeing the same kind of devastation. And with all of that will come disease and sickness. So I don't have to paint the picture for you. You have seen it on the news and know that it is a very desperate situation for many people. Want to just let you know that there are ways you can be involved. There are ways that you can serve, first of all. And I have there in this a website, baptistmission.org. There's several slashes and colons and things like that. But if you type all of that into your browser, you will go to, it will take you to the site for Baptist Men. North Carolina Baptist State Convention is the group that we are partnering with through Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. And they provide direct assistance. They're already there on the ground and have places set up. But if you have skills, if you have tools, they want to know that and see how they can direct you to be involved directly as a volunteer. Or you may not be physically able to do that or might not have the freedom from your job situation to do that. You can also give. And it's not here. This is something we're adapting as we go day by day. But CBFNC has developed the North Carolina Hurricane Matthew Relief Fund. And if you go to cbfnc.org, you will find a link to that where you can give directly. And I know it sounds a little bit strange to say this, but really what they need more than anything else is money. They do have trained people, and they have professional people, but they lack the funds to buy some of the materials that they need. So if you'd like to participate in that, I'm actually going back down to southeastern North Carolina tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek literally does not rise. So if you have any items that might be of use, like bottled water, that's the number one, I think, necessity. You can leave that here at the church in the fellowship hall tonight, and I will just simply try to carry as much as I can. But be also in prayer for those families and for those workers and for the devastation that they're facing.
Wow. Well, he don't want to come. That's okay. All right. Nope. All right, let me ask y'all a couple questions this morning. Have you ever watched a wrestling match? No? Do you know any wrestlers that are on TV right now? I used to watch it a long time ago with my son, but that's been a long, long time ago. So I don't know the guys out now. Any of them? Remember any of their names? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to tell me because I have no idea. I'll take your word for it. I was going to bring a little wrestler guy, but of course this weekend I forgot to go look for one, and so I had to print one off the internet. So let me show you one right here. Who do you think this is right here? Does he look familiar to you? Let me show it to the choir. Does this guy look familiar to y'all? Let me show it to the congregation. And it's kind of hard to see. Does this wrestler look familiar to y'all? Let me go to this side. Does he look familiar to y'all, this wrestler? How about to you guys? Okay, well, you got it, Faye. You nailed it on the head there. That is Jacob wrestling with the angel. Okay, now let me ask you a couple more questions. Wrestling was very, very popular back all around the world. Amateur wrestling is probably the most popular in schools, colleges, and in the Olympics. There's also professional wrestling you see on TV. I think that kind of wrestling is fake. I don't really think it's real. I think they do a lot of fake things on TV, but people still enjoy watching it. Wrestling is one of the oldest sports, and it dates way back 1,000 years ago. Did y'all know that? 1,000 years ago. You might be surprised to know that there's even wrestling mentioned in the Bible. And this picture I just showed you is a wrestler in the Bible. And I want to see I'm going to tell you a couple things about this guy and see if you can tell me who it is. One of the wrestlers in our story today is very well known. Let's see if you can guess who it is. He was a son of Isaac and Rebecca. He had a twin brother named Esau. Esau cheated out of his birthright. He had two wives named Leah and Rachel, and he was tricked by his uncle Laban into marrying Leah, even though it was Rachel that he loved and he wanted to marry. Can you guess who it was? Jacob. That's right. As the story opens, Jacob and his two wives, his servants, and 11 sons were traveling to meet Esau. That night, he came to the river. Jacob got across the river to the other side, and he stayed behind himself. The Bible tells us that that night, the man wrestled with Jacob. And as they were wrestling, the man touched Jacob's hip, and it was twisted as he wrestled with him. And when dawn came, the man saw that he would not win this match. So he said to Jacob, "Let's go. Let me go before dawn is breaking." But Jacob answered, "I will not let you go until you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. "Jacob," he replied. "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "For now on, you will be called Israel, because you have wrestled with God and you won." "And that's your name?" Jacob asked the man. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man asked. Then he blessed Jacob. Jacob named that place Peniel, which means the face of God, because he had seen the face of God, but his life had been spared. The sun rose and Jacob went on his way, but he was limping because of his hip. Can you imagine wrestling with God? I couldn't. But you know, I think often we do wrestle with God. You think about, we want things our way, and he wants us to give up and let him be in control of our lives. Things that he wants us to do, but he thinks we should do it another way. But sometimes God gives up and lets us do it our way, and he blesses us still, doesn't he? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have learned today about blessings you've promised Jacob. We pray that you will allow you to have control of our lives so that we will receive many blessings you have promised us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, I think it is, "Come Thou Almighty King."
To praise Father.
us pray. Father God, as we come to this time of worship, as we return a portion of the blessings and the gifts that you have given us, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the ability to gather, the ability to not worry about food or drink or shelter or warmth, not worrying about electricity or power. Father God, we know many across this state and across this country and across this world are facing those struggles. May the blessings that we give you, the offerings that we give you this day, not only serve in our community, but across this state and across this world. We give them with an open heart and open mind. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
To hear again from the words of Scripture from the prophet Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to pause in silence as you make your personal confession to the Lord, and then we continue in prayer. O Lord, our God, we seek you. Are you to be found? Lord, we confess that when we do not find you, it's not because you are failing to be there, but it's we who are failing to see, failing to search, failing to be desperate for you, failing to seek after you step by step, failing to open ourselves to your presence all around us. For even as your thoughts are not our thoughts, your word says you seek to transform our minds, to renew us, to give us a new mindset, one like that of Christ himself. And we trust in that promise. Your ways are not our ways, and yet you invite us to follow the way, the truth, and the light. And you are the God who can turn our steps around and give us a new gait and a new rhythm. And so, Lord, we pray for your mercy and grace on our lives. Continue to renew us. Continue to be the God who finds us where we are. And Lord, we pray for those who are struggling in this very moment, those for whom the church is underwater or falling apart, those for whom there is a loss of food and a loss of life and a loss of comfort, a loss of power, a loss of shelter, and perhaps even a loss of faith. Would you be the God who is there for them? Strengthen them. Comfort those who need to be comforted, and send your servants in their way to bring them hope and to bring them life. In the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Lord, as we come to your word, we ask that you would ready us for the task. With open minds, may we wrestle with your word. May we allow it to examine us, even as we seek to examine it. And we pray, God, that on the other side of this journey, we would be new. Different, changed. In his name we pray. Amen. Gay was talking about wrestlers, and as most of you probably know, I think somebody behind me said, Mason, you should go up there and give them some names. I grew up watching professional wrestling back when we thought it was real, believe it or not. And I remember just idolizing and being so captivated by some of these characters who were larger than life, and many of them based their personas on televangelist, by the way, like the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. I used to love Dusty Rhodes. I used to watch him and just be so mesmerized by his, what they call promos, the things that he would say. I remember very vividly his Hard Times promo, where he talked about how the Nature Boy Ric Flair had put hard times on Dusty Rhodes. And my favorite word he ever used, though, was discombobulated. He's all discombobulated. Or when he said he's going to stomp a mud hole in you and walk it dry. I thought, that I'm going to use that. I'm going to find some opportunity in my life to use that. Or there was the Nature Boy Ric Flair with his famous strut, you know. Woo! He was a bad guy, but I loved him. I loved to watch him get beaten up by Sting. And all of these characters that are just absolutely ridiculous. But I loved it. And so you can imagine how excited I was as a young child the first time my Sunday school teacher brought this story of Jacob wrestling with God. Because my mind, I promise you, the story played out very differently. I imagine God or this angel with a robe with sequins and feathers. And I imagined Jacob there with his wrestling gear on, his tights and his boots. It was just a completely different image in my mind of this story. But it really resonated with me, this idea of wrestling with God. And the older I get, the less I see the feather boas and the sequins, and the more I see the raw reality of this story, this moment where we are seeing something that is not flamboyant or fake or something that is showy or sensational, but we are seeing something that is very basic to the nature of being a human being. It is raw and real and powerful. We are told in the story beginning in verse 22, the same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone. You know those moments where we are finally at a place where we are all by ourselves. Some of us, maybe it's at night as our head is touching the pillow and we're laying there. And even if there is someone beside us, there is this sense in the darkness that we are finally all by ourselves. He'd sent all of his possessions and peoples across the river. For some of us, that moment comes in our car while we're driving home from work or driving to work or taking that long trip when it's just us and the steering wheel and we are decompressing, if you will. For some of you, that might be a more intentional moment, that perhaps there is a time in your day where you're able to shut the door to your office or to your room and simply be alone. That's a powerful blessing sometimes, to be alone. Because it is in the aloneness and in the quiet of that solitude that God seeks to work on us. It is in those moments we have the big ideas, or we ask ourselves the deep questions of life. It is in those moments when we, like Jacob, begin to wrestle with things. Why? How? When? Jacob is alone. In verse 24, it says, a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. As my granddaddy used to say, you'll walk over here, but you'll limp back. As they wrestled, it tells us the man could not overcome Jacob, or would not overcome Jacob. That this man is somehow a representative, or God himself, is awe-inspiring. That Jacob was wrestling with God, but God sought to wrestle with Jacob on Jacob's level, on Jacob's terms. And even as Isaiah rightly said, that God is so much other and so much bigger. And yet here in this moment, he injects himself into the struggle of Jacob's lives in a personal way. And he does not use all that power and might, but he seeks instead to prevail upon Jacob. In verse 26, then he said, "Let me go, for day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Jacob's name becomes the name of a people, Israel. And Israel means quite literally wrestling with God. Anytime you see El at the end of a word like that, or a name or a place, it's a reference to Elohim, God. That Jacob, whether it be as some people interpret this as an angel or others as some incarnation, the reality is Jacob believes he has wrestled with God, and the man says so. You have wrestled with God in your life, haven't you? You have struggled with God over the course of your existence, no doubt. And many of those why, what, how, who questions that you have when you are alone are very wrestling match with the Almighty, all-powerful. And here it says, Jacob has prevailed. God does not seek to conquer you or subdue you, but seeks to put you in a place where you will prevail, where you will win, where you will succeed, where you win. And Jacob again asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed them. I want to explain that tidbit in the story because it's something that's lost on many Western thinkers and certainly on us modern thinkers. But this idea in the ancient Near Eastern world was that if you had the name of a deity, if you could call on that name or invoke that name, it gave you power over that deity. And so Jacob here is not innocently asking for the name of God. He wants somehow to control God. But God is not a tame lion, to quote C.S. Lewis. That he does not allow himself to be conquered in that way. And even as we wrestle with our questions and with our faith and with our existence, God seeks to allow us to prevail, but not to conquer him either. And so he does not give his name, but he does bless him. There is blessing that comes at the end of the wrestle. So it was for Jacob, and so it is for you. That blessing is the result, is the outcome of wrestling with God. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The man rose upon him and passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. One of the things I always admire about the Israelites is how they allow all things in life to be symbol and reminders to remember a story like this. I think the great failing of the church of our time, one of the great failings, and there are many, is that we do not allow people to wrestle with God. We do not allow people to wrestle with their doubts and their fears and their questions. That we do not create a space where it is okay to do so. I remember as a teenager, one of my friends who was the president of the Bible Club, who was someone all of us looked up to and respected for his incredible faith and his understanding of the Bible. He was a fundamentalist. He put the fun back in fundamentalism. And this guy believed that every word, every jot and tittle was so precious, and that there should be no question about it, no doubts about faith or anything in the Bible. He refused to be a person open to wrestling with the text. And he came across this question where he read in one place the king was 8 years old when he became king. And he read in another place where the king was 18 years old when he became king. And that seems like such an insignificant detail to you. But it did not fit in his systematic theology and understanding of the scripture. And it gnawed away at him and ate away at him until he simply lost his faith. Because in his mind, there's something wrong with me if I can't make this system fit together. There's something wrong with me if I have a question or a concern about the text. I must not be a believer after all. I knew someone while I was in Germany who had a similar story, a similar journey, but for them it was about feelings. And the feelings went awry when the question was asked to them by one of their non-believing friends, how do you know God exists? And they realized they couldn't answer. They had no proof. God is mystery. They had no fact sheet to present, no DNA evidence, and that gnawed at their feelings and feelings of concern and feelings of not feeling God. And we all know what that is like. When we bow our heads to pray, or when we find ourselves in the middle of a song of praise and yet we feel nothing. But here's the thing, feelings are fickle. They come and they go. And her inability to wrestle honestly with feelings, or the lack thereof, led to a total loss of faith. You see, as we said, the great failing of the church is we've taken a house that is meant to be a place where it is safe and expected to ask tough questions, to wrestle with our fears, our doubts, and our concerns. And we have turned it into a cotton candy dream of a nice place where I'm okay and you're okay and nobody has any questions. We are afraid to wrestle with God. But God can take care of himself. He can handle himself in a fight. You're not going to break God with your questions. And I promise you, there's nothing you could ever ask that he hasn't heard a million times before. When I was a teenager in Sunday school class, this was in junior high, I was sitting there and someone asked about God being so good, and then why is there evil in the world? Why do bad things happen? It's the classic question. And you know what the response from the teacher was? You can't ask that in church. Why? Why not? If you can't ask it here, where then is the right place to ask? If you can't ask God, who can you ask? I want to leave you with another story. It's one that takes a very different direction. It's one that you may be very familiar with already, but this story begins with a young man named Lee Strobel, who in his story he begins as an atheist, intent on disproving the existence of Jesus, seeking to prove that the New Testament is all just made up mumbo-jumbo superstition. But Lee Strobel begins to wrestle with this, openly, honestly asking the tough questions. He talks to Bible scholars. He talks to those great preachers of our time. He asks questions and wrestles with text after text and story after story. And at the end of his journey, through wrestling with God, he is left without a doubt that Jesus is real. Not only that Jesus is God in the flesh, Son of the living God, Savior of the universe. And he puts his faith in that. If you wrestle with God, the end result is a blessing. And it's deeper faith
that comes as the outcome, not less faith. I am continually inspired by this story of its honesty and its power. Recently, I was at the Elevating Preaching Conference, and Dr. John Kinney made the observation, somewhat alluding to this story and to others. He says, "Our God is not high up and far away. We have a low down God who is with us in the mud." Or as Acts 17 says, God is not far off, but he is near. He is with us and beside us. He is within you, the kingdom of God. And he seeks to subdue us and to be subdued. He seeks that we would strive with him, that we do not have to reach up high or seek to be moved to some ethereal plane. But when we are alone, we are not alone. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you are Emmanuel, God with us, not far off, but present here, all around us and within us. We pray that you would teach us to wrestle honestly with you, that we would seek that blessing through the struggle, that we would not shy away from the hard questions, but that we would believe in the promise, seek and you will find. Lord, teach us to be a people who in awe of you come before you, knowing that you are in fact God with us. In your Son Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we come to our final song in our service, it is a song of response, Spirit of the Living God. I would like to extend an invitation to you that if you have never wrestled with this God, come and wrestle with him now. If you need prayer in your journey and in your struggle, you are not alone. I invite you to come, and I'm happy to pray with you or to pray over you. Or perhaps you're seeking a church home, a place where you want to join with others who are openly and honestly wrestling with God. This is a place where we wrestle, and you are welcome here. Come and make that commitment today. However you respond, respond quickly, for Spirit of the Living God is short, and we're only going to do it twice. So if you seek to come, come. Let us stand together if you're able.
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm your spare tire.
All right. I'm glad you came, spare tire.